Reading is from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. And it's on the screen, but you can also find it on page 1006. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him."
Thank you very much, Chloe, for reading. Please keep that passage open. Well, happy Easter, everybody. And as we come to this passage, let me pray for us. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the words of Jesus. Thank you for the power of his words, spoken over 2,000 years ago, and yet still echoes powerfully today. And we thank you for the plentiful, bountiful crop that's produced, especially in our lives as we sit here this Sunday evening, as we celebrate the Lord Jesus, the risen King. And we pray that your word would come to bear in our lives this evening, and would it produce fruit in us. And we ask for the help of your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, please do look up. At an evening social for army officers and their wives, the commanding general of the base had been given a special prize, and he proceeded to drone on in a long speech of thanks. And a lieutenant mumbled to the woman at his side, "Why they would award him a prize is beyond me. He's nothing but a stupid old windbag." And to which the woman turned to him, her jaw set, and said, "Lieutenant, do you know who I am?" "No, ma'am." The woman replied, "I am the wife of the man you just called a stupid old windbag." "I see," said the young lieutenant. "And do you know who I am?" "No, I don't," said the general's wife. "Good," said the lieutenant as he disappeared into the crowd. "Do you know who I am?" I don't have a "do you know who I am" story. I'm sure some of us might do. "Do we know who he is?" Verse 41 of our passage says, the disciples were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Do you know who he is? Who is this man? Who is he? Now, that's been the question Mark, the author of this gospel, has been trying to get us to think about through four chapters. And so far, he's given us plenty of evidence to think long and hard about this man called Jesus, about who he is and why he might be worth responding to. And so far, Jesus has been carrying out his ministry of preaching the gospel, healing the sick, casting out demons. However, in this passage, we see a miracle that places him in a far more kind of supernatural light. And so the first point for us to note about who Jesus is this evening: Jesus was a human like you and me. Firstly, we see the humanity of Jesus. In the Transformers film franchise, the heroes of the film, it's about robots, are kind of a faction of Sentinel robots called Autobots. Their leader, Optimus Prime, is probably the most well-known and probably the most well-adjusted, humanly speaking. But regardless of how humanly he comes across in his words and emotions, he's not human. He's a hero who is ultimately a kind of a gigantic ball of metal. He can transform into different shapes and sizes when needed. He's great. But fundamentally, he doesn't know what it feels like to be a human being. He's probably never had a tummy ache, probably never felt tired and needed to sleep. He's a hero, but he's a robot. He can't relate to us. Not like Jesus. Verse 35 picks up from where we left off last week. Jesus has been teaching and explaining his parables, and it's been an incredibly long day at the office for Jesus and his disciples. He's absolutely shattered. So much so that he says to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. And verse 36, so they took him along just as he was in the boat, alongside other small boats. Jesus was tired. Tired after a long day in the office preaching about God's kingdom. I'm sure a lot of us will recognize the feeling of being tired after a long day at the office. You just want to get in the car and get on your train or get on your bike and go home so that you can have your dinner and kind of put your feet up. The last thing you want is to be stuck in heavy traffic or have your train delayed because a tree has fallen on the tracks. After a long day, he just wants to get home. He just wants to get across the lake. And so he gets the evening boat. And it should be plain sailing. He's traveling with fishermen, seriously experienced sailors. He can get some sleep at the back with a nice soft cushion. No need to worry. They know the way. They've done it 1,000 times. Jesus slept. He was human, just like us. He needed a good night's rest. Just like us, he felt exhaustion after a long and hard day's work. Who is Jesus? Well, he was the man who felt bodily weakness, just like we do. He was full of emotions, just like us. He wept, just like we often do. He felt joy, just like we do. Why is it important that Jesus was a man? Well, because we can trust that he truly understands us. As the waves and storms of life come crashing over us, we know that we have a God who has felt our pain and sorrows, who has been in the storms of this world. As we celebrate Easter today, we celebrate a human who lived in history over 2,000 years ago. And so firstly, we see the humanity of Jesus. Secondly, we see that Jesus was not only human, but he was also God. And so we see the divine nature of Jesus. Not long after getting to sleep, in verse 37, we're told, a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. The lake in which Jesus and the disciples were sailing over is the Lake Galilee. The Lake Galilee is situated about 680 feet, roughly around or below sea level. And hence, it gets lots of warm air. And because Galilee is surrounded by lots of sharp rising hills, lots of cold air rush down from the mountains. And when they meet the warm air over the lake, it can lead to furious windstorms. Squall is an odd word, isn't it? It basically refers to a violent windstorm lasting for several minutes. This is no ordinary storm. It's an epically violent storm crashing over the boat. And the boat they would have been in would have been a kind of fishing boat with low sides. So it's filling up rapidly. The fishermen who are typically experienced in this kind of weather have no answers as the boat is rapidly sinking, getting swamped with water. Mayday, mayday, mayday. All hands on deck. Boat sinking. Except Jesus. Where is he? Verse 38. Jesus was in the stern, in the back, sleeping on a cushion. Talk about sleeping through anything. As the boat is being swamped, as the waves are crashing over the boat, as the boat looks like it's going down, where is Jesus? Well, he's at the back, sleeping peacefully. As the boat is sinking under the weight of water, Jesus is fast asleep. And the disciples wake him up and say to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Another translation says, "Don't you care if we perish, if we die?" It's a searching question, isn't it? As Christians, when we put our faith in Jesus, God doesn't guarantee us a life free of ups and downs, free of relational difficulty, free of sickness and disappointment. The Christian is not immune from the storms of life. I suppose a question we might often find ourselves asking is the same as the disciples. God, do you even care? Do you even know what I'm going through? When the waves and the storms of our lives begin to crash over us, what question do we find ourselves asking God? As the disciples question Jesus and his care for them, verse 39, he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. Jesus got up. He arose from his sleep and rebukes the wind and the waves like a head teacher does to a classroom. "Quiet, be still." Jesus brought peace to the storm. Who is this man? Notice, Jesus doesn't say to the disciples, "Stand back, guys, stand back." He doesn't say, "Let me roll up my sleeves." He doesn't take a deep breath and think of a plan. He just simply gets up from sleep. Nonchalantly says to the storm, the violent storm, "Quiet, be still." And it does. I've done a bit of sailing in my time, and even as the wind dies down, the choppy waves don't calm down straight away. It takes time for the winds and the waves to calm down. Not with Jesus. There's a miraculous kind of immediate effect. There's an immediate response when he speaks. Not just to human beings, but to the elements. The winds and the waves, they listen to the voice of Jesus. They listen to a voice that they've heard once upon a time. The same voice that brought them into existence in the beginning is the same voice speaking to them again. "Quiet, be still." There's no negotiation or pushback, but utter and absolute submission. Who is this man? He can heal the sick, he can cast out demons, and he can even control the weather. Who is this man? Well, this passage helps us to see that Jesus is both man and God. The one who can control all of creation. The one who can bring peace in the eye of a violent storm. Notice the details of this passage. It's interesting, isn't it? Firstly, we're told it was evening when they set off with a kind of convoy of other small boats. And it also says in verse 36, they took Jesus along just as he was. Just as he was. He kind of left as he was. He'd been preaching all day in the boat. And we're also told that, well, he's not just asleep, but he's asleep in the stern, in the back, on a cushion. It's the kind of detail someone would give as they're recounting a real life event that happened to them. You can imagine the disciples discussing later on, do you remember that time when we were in a violent storm on the Lake of Galilee and Rabbi, teacher, was asleep on the back, on the cushion that you gave him? Oh yeah, I remember that time. Teacher was a deep sleeper. This is an eyewitness account of an event that really happened. They say modern novels sometimes have this level of detail. But this kind of detail didn't exist until about 300 years ago in novels. It's an unprecedented amount of detail in an ancient document. The small details of this event, which serve no purpose, apparently, to this story, can only be explained as someone recounting an eyewitness account. And it's all been recorded for us in ancient manuscripts. There are many classical works of history which we accept without question based on our manuscripts behind them. If I ask you, what's the number of manuscripts for the evidence of Caesar's Gallic Wars? How many manuscripts would you hazard a guess? Give me a figure. 50. Slightly lower. 10. How about Plato's manuscripts? How many would you guess? 7. How about Homer's Iliad? It's got a bit more. 300. Double that. 643. How about the New Testament? And counting. We are not reading myth or legend. We're reading a real event that happened, that's backed up in history. Who is Jesus? Jesus was both man and God. And so we see Jesus is man, Jesus is God. And thirdly, we see that only Jesus, this God-man, can take us through the storm to the other side. Verse 40, Jesus said to the disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" To be fair, the disciples' reaction was kind of understandable, wasn't it? Their boat was being swamped by water. They're about to die. I reckon if we're honest with ourselves, we'd probably have a similar reaction. "Why are you so afraid?" says Jesus. Maybe today it's not a literal storm that makes us afraid. Maybe it's a kind of different kind of storm, storms of life, which will vary for all of us. Personal illness, which threatens our quality of life. Financial storms, job loss, depression, illness of a loved one. Uncertainty about the future, next step of life. Marriage difficulties. The storm will vary for all of us. I wonder what kind of storm we may be going through this evening. Are we afraid? Jesus asks his disciples, "Why are you afraid?" In asking the question, he's partly asking them, "Do you still know who I am? Do you still not know who I am? If you knew, you would not be afraid." And so he asks them a second question. "Have you still no faith? Do you still not trust in me?" It's a searching question again. Have you still no faith? And so far in this chapter, Jesus has carried out an astonishing number of signs and wonders in Mark's gospel. He's cast out demons. He's carried out many healings. He's cured a man of leprosy, healed a paralyzed man. He's preached with a unique authority, after giving them plenty of evidence to trust him. They still lack faith in him. Our first reading was from the book of Jonah. And in Matthew chapter 12, around verse 38. Let's turn there. Let me find it. I should have found it earlier. So page 978. Jesus is having an interaction with the Pharisees. And in verse 40... Jesus says, "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, So the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And then he says to them later on, now something greater than Jonah is here. Something greater than Jonah is here. The reason why we had this passage from our first reading is that this scene bears a striking resemblance to the story of Jonah, who was caught in the storm. You see, in chapter 4 of Mark, he's laid out this story in such a way that one can't help but think of Jonah. Both Jesus and Jonah are on a boat. Both Jesus and Jonah are overtaken by a storm. Both Jesus and Jonah are asleep on the boat. Both Jesus and Jonah are woken up by shipmates who come to them and say, we're perishing. Both cases end up with a storm becoming calm, with a result that both sailors in Jonah's story and the disciples on the boat with Jesus are even more scared. In the story of Jonah, Jonah offers to sacrifice himself so that the storm can be calmed. The sailors say in verse 14 of chapter 1 of Jonah, they called out to the Lord, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done it as you pleased. For you, O Lord, have done it as you pleased. If I didn't know any better, I'd think they were talking about Jesus, the one who was truly innocent, the one whose blood was shed so that we might live. Of course, Jonah, the one who they were actually talking about, was guilty. He was guilty of disobeying God and running away from preaching to the Gentiles in Nineveh. As the storm raged for Jonah and his shipmates, Jonah is woken up from sleep, and he eventually offers to sacrifice himself in order to still the storm, and there was peace. Right, in our passage in Mark, we read of another who rose from sleep and spoke to the storm, and there was peace. Complete calm. The word that's translated for Jesus got up in verse 39 is the Greek word egero. Egero. And it's the same word that's used to describe the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Today's Easter Sunday, and we're reminded that Jesus did rise up once again, but not this time from sleep on a boat, but rather from death on a cross. In Jesus, we have the true Jonah, a greater Jonah, who would eventually sacrifice his life, throw himself into the ultimate storm. On the cross, Jesus alone would endure the storm of God's wrath for our sake, in order to bring us everlasting peace. In the Lord Jesus, we can trust that the greatest storm, God's wrath, God's anger, has been stilled against us. That we are now at peace with God forever. And the resurrection of the Lord Jesus is proof of that. Jesus lived as a human on this earth in space and time. He calmed the storm in the lake in space and time. He died in space and time. He rose again in space and time. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus are facts rooted in history. If it's not, then frankly speaking, the Christian religion is worthless. It's pointless. If just one of those things, his life, death, and resurrection, is not true, then Christianity is a false religion. However, if it is true, if Jesus really lived, if he really died, and if he really rose again, then the question for some of us tonight is this: have you still no faith? Have you still no faith? This is the question that Jesus put to his disciples. You might be here tonight and wondering whether or not to put your faith in Jesus. Let's say you're a young person here this evening. You might be thinking, well, I've got my whole life ahead of me. to make a decision. But there's always next year. There's always next week. If anything, the life has taught us is that life is fragile. There may not even be a tomorrow. All you have to do is turn on the news and see how fragile life is. High-profile people falling sick. Ships unexpectedly crashing into bridges. Some of you will know the story of the Air France Concorde flight 4590, which crashed on takeoff in Paris. 100 passengers, 9 crew, and 4 people on the ground were killed when the Concorde banked and it went into a stall. It plunged into the ground and exploded upon impact into a fireball. The oldest passenger was 91, and the youngest passenger was 7. As investigators sought to discover the reason for the accident, they listened to the tapes of the pilot's conversation with the control tower. And his last words, as he fought to save his stricken craft, were, "Too late. Too late." It was too late. When is our time to go? Nobody knows. But we just know it shouldn't be today. Only today is guaranteed. Life is fragile. It's never too early, if you're young, to accept the Lord Jesus, to respond to his voice. The one who spoke and creation came into being. The one whose powerful voice stilled the storm 2,000 years ago. It echoes to you tonight. Will you put your faith in me? Don't leave it too late. If you're young, it's never too early. If you're old, it's never too late. And for those of us who are Christians here tonight, as we celebrate Easter Sunday and read of this account in the life of Jesus and the calming of the storm on Lake Galilee, we know that that probably wasn't the last storm on the Lake of Galilee. Jesus has come into our world, and yet storms continue to rage all around us. Just turn on the news. We see storms raging literally in the weather and also in human affairs, both for the Christian and the non-Christian. The Christian is not immune to the storms of this world. We're not immune to war, broken relationships, illnesses. In verse 35, when Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Do you think he knew there was going to be a storm? I think we have to believe he did. He's God. And yet he decided to lead his disciples through it. There is no storm of life that we go through that Jesus isn't aware of. There is no storm that we go through that Jesus is not with us by his Spirit. As we celebrate Easter Sunday, we celebrate the Lord Jesus who made it to the other side of the storm of God's wrath. He died on the cross. He rose again, vindicated. And his Spirit now lives in us to comfort us, to reassure us. If there's anything we take away from this passage, please don't let it be, Jesus can calm the storms of our lives. No, he certainly can do that. He has the power to do so. But he has a far greater promise to us this evening. In his resurrection, Jesus assures us that there is one storm that will never, ever rage again. God's anger against us. And so he says to us tonight, his voice echoes to us tonight through his word, "Don't take your eyes off me. I am the one who can take you to the other side of the storm of this world, to an even better world, a transformed, renewed world where peace will reign because I have calmed the greatest storm. My resurrection is proof." Those who have this inner, deep peace with God are to let it flow into their lives. So that, like John Newton, we can say, though dark may be my way, since he's my guide, 'tis mine to obey, 'tis his to provide. By prayer let me wrestle, and he will perform. With Christ in the vessel, I smile at the storm. With Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storms of this world. Jesus is the one who can take us to the other side, because he himself is now on that side, alive and reigning as King in heaven forever. Christ is risen. Alleluia.